following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist, a bill that would repeal the state's ban on rent control measures, a hot issue in Chicago's mayoral race, failed to win approval yesterday in a state house subcommittee. Real estate trade groups mobilized against the bill introduced back in February, which would have lifted a 22-year prohibition against local rent control. The issue has gained traction in Chicago, and it's gentrifying neighborhoods experiencing steep rent increases. Mayoral candidate Lori Lightfoot said she opposes rent control as a solution to gentrification, and opponent Tony Preckwinkle, who hasn't backed rent control per se, does favor lifting the ban as a way of debating the topic. More business headlines and updates after a word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking, provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The East Coast investors who bought part of the River East complex in Streeterville less than 3 years ago are cashing out, hoping to net a hefty profit as a flurry of new developments surround it. A joint venture of Madison Capital and Wheelock Street Capital, both based on the East Coast, is seeking around $120 million for the complex at 233 East Illinois. A sale at or near that price would mark a lucrative flip for the duo, which paid nearly $94 million in 2016 for the retail portion of the property spanning a city block between Columbus and McClurg. The building also includes an Embassy Suites Hotel, a 58-story condo tower, and an underground parking garage not included in the offering. Other tenants include a Lucky Strike bowling alley, Walgreens, and a Bright Horizons daycare in the building that is now fully leased, a relatively rare sight amid strong headwinds for retail landlords citywide. A Cook County resident can afford a home at the local median price on an annual income of about $59,900. That's according to a nationwide study released this morning by real estate information company Adam. That's less than the other 14 most populous U.S. counties, which includes the primary counties in the metro areas of L.A., Houston, New York, and several others. The reason? Lower home prices, which in turn are a function of Chicago's slower rising real estate market. The median price of a home in Cook County in the first few months of this year was $200,000, Adam reports, compared to nearly $600,000 in Los Angeles County and $210,000 in the Houston metro area. The data was broken out by county, not by city or metropolitan area, and did not factor in property taxes. Nationwide, a buyer needs to have a household income of a little more than $66,000 to buy a home at the national median of just over $237,000. McDonald's, in a reversal of company policy, said it'll no longer lobby against minimum wage hikes in the U.S. As originally reported by Politico, the company's VP of U.S. Government Relations said in a letter Tuesday to the National Restaurant Association, "Going forward, McDonald's Corporation will not use our resources, including lobbyists or staff, to oppose minimum wage increases at the federal, state, or local levels, nor will we participate in association advocacy efforts designed expressly to defeat wage increases." McDonald's restaurants employ more than 800,000 people domestically, many of whom work for franchise locations that are independently owned and operated. At the company's stores, McDonald's says the average starting pay is more than $10 an hour. The federal minimum wage stands at $7.25 an hour and hasn't increased since 2009. Required pay increases have taken hold in states across the country lately, with many moving to bump minimum wage to $15 an hour. The changes have been helped by union-backed protests aimed especially at the fast food industry and McDonald's. Chicago-based At Properties is making its first move outside the Midwest, partnering with real estate brokerage Ansley Atlanta. Launched in 2000, At Properties has more than 2,500 agents in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan, and has done real estate transactions totaling more than $9 billion in sales volume in each of the past two calendar years. That's according to Real Trends, a Colorado-based firm that ranks residential brokerages. Ansley, founded in 2015, has about 135 agents and reported that its transactions totaled nearly $500 million in sales volume in 2017. Ansley will be a strategic partner of At Properties, but will continue to operate under the same name. The terms of the deal have not been released. Coming up, we'll check in with Crane's Chicago Business tech reporter John Pletz to talk about the architect who won the bid for O'Hare's new global terminal. That's right after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions, coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at wintrust.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business technology reporter John Pletz here to talk with us about the architect who won the bid for O'Hare's new global terminal. John, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Amy.
So tell us about this architect. This is a familiar face. We have seen her work before. And so what does this mean for her and what we can expect from this O'Hare expansion project?
Well, airports, generally speaking, for architects are the biggest trophy projects around. They're big, they're visible. And they also have, they tend to have the biggest budgets. So this is, really sort of a career-making moment for any architect. And, this assignment for Jeannie puts her, at the top of the profession. It's also because she is a local architect, her work is well-known, starting, going back to the Aqua. So this is just, this is a real opportunity for her.
It seems like when Jeannie Gang did design the Aqua Tower, I think that's when she became a bit of a more household name in Chicago outside of architecture circles. Would you say that's accurate?
For sure. It's looking like, that's going to be, one of the iconic buildings in Chicago. And that means a lot because, Chicago is a town that takes its architecture very seriously.
Indeed. And it's also of note, and as you noted in the story at ChicagoBusiness.com, she becomes the first woman now to design a major U.S. airport terminal, which is a really interesting designation. I like to think we're kind of past that point where lots of people have designed lots of things, but how interesting that she's the first here in this space.
Hard to believe, but it appears to be true. And that's, one of the other reasons that I think a lot of people really took notice of the assignment. There aren't a lot of airport projects to begin with, so anything that's a multi-billion dollar effort gets people's attention. Jeannie's really made a name for herself, and the fact that it's a woman architect and not one of the usual suspects, which that tends to be a boys' club.
And so what is it we can expect from her and this project? And I'm sure there's going to be lots of, the architecture piece is the artistic side. I'm sure there's lots of technical and, financial and business sides to this that will be very interesting. But just kind of the preliminary scouting report on this project, what is that revealing for the city?
Absolutely. That is one of the reasons why it's a very small group of people who do the airports. There aren't many people who've done them. They are incredibly complicated and expensive, which is why airports tend to go to people who have done them successfully before. The design itself is novel and interesting. There was a lot of wood in an arena that generally has been much more dominated by lots of metal glass and a lot of white material. So from that standpoint, it's going to be distinct. But these are concepts and renderings. The timetable for this project, in terms of making the pitches and the selections was very compressed even by architect standards. So what you're going to see when this gets done in several years may be a little different than the concepts. I was talking to an architect yesterday who'd done this work before and said, this is just a starting point. By the time you get into the nitty-gritty of all of the things that an airport has to do, it has to be very functional, that it may look a little different. And so, where we start may not be exactly where we end up, but you've got an idea of where she's headed.
certainly the roadmap is there, and there are, we should note, some architect renderings and sketches up at the website on chicagobusiness.com and with connected to your story today that are really, really beautiful. And as you say, as you note, they don't look like an airport. They look more like a spa, almost all this wood and kind of natural light, which is kind of, you know, very, seems to me anyway, very, like, very signature for her. But also a very clear move away from, as you noted, that the standard airport glass metal white space kind of vibe.
Right. You're seeing a real evolution in airports in, you know, certainly the last decade or so. They're becoming much bigger, much less utilitarian. There's more space to hang out. They're trying to make them places that are a little more inviting. And part of that, you know, reflects how air travel has changed. You can end up, particularly if you're doing international flying, you know, you can end up spending a lot of time at an airport. So, the designs now really reflect that. If you sort of think back to, you know, what the airports looked like, you know, 40 years ago, you know, low ceilings, carpet everywhere. They were sort of dark and uninviting, and they didn't really age well. But, boy, you saw some really amazing designs all over Asia over the last decade, where, you know, these airports, you know, they're almost like malls or museums, and they've really become quite elaborate. And, you know, Chicago is one of those places that's an international hub, so, you know, that figures into the equation. You know, a lot of our travelers are very familiar with other airports around the world, and I think that sort of figured into the equation.
Yeah, it looks almost like a greenhouse in some, you know, in some respects, and like a garden area. It looks very, very beautiful and calming, which I think we need in our airports for sure. So what is the timeline on this project?
It's several years. Actually, the first pieces of the project there to be built will be the satellite concourses, which I believe will start to be delivered in 2 or 3 years. And then the main terminal, which Jeannie's gonna be designing, will be several years after that. In part because what's being replaced is a working terminal, and the new terminal is going to go on that footprint. So you've got to provide some space for the current occupants to go elsewhere before you can knock it down and totally rebuild it. So this is going to be a while coming. This is not going to be a quick project.
And it certainly sounds like whoever is in charge of logistics for that and rerouting all those, you know, all those gates and all that, that is not an enviable position for them to be in, for sure. So thank you so much for being with us today, John Pletz. Always appreciate your insight.
Glad to do it.
Until next week, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Find these stories, breaking news, data, and more at chicagobusiness.com. And find me on Twitter as @AmyGuth. And let's continue the conversation.